Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. It's part two, Moms for America at the White House talking with officials from the administration regarding President Trump's 100 days in office. Stay with us. We're coming right back. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Carolinas, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you're joining us again this week. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, last week, we brought you the first part of our visit to the White House to celebrate President Trump's first 100 days in office. Boy, this was really an exciting experience for us and many other podcasters as well, and other new media representatives who honestly have been left out by the last administration. But President Trump, he clearly values the new voices, young voices, and moms. Let's face it, we are a major stakeholder in the future of our country for our children and our grandchildren. Well, one of the issues that is so very important to moms is safety and security. We all grieve every time we hear about the death of an American due to the lack of security or protection at our border. I talked about these issues with Ron Vitello. Ron has worked in a variety of positions in border security for over 34 years. Currently, he is with the Department of Homeland Security. He is a senior advisor serving with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Here's my conversation with Ron. I heard you say next door that you are so delighted to have this position and actually prayed for this position. Is that what I heard you say over there?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I started helping as a volunteer pre-transition and through the transition, talking to my old colleagues who some I knew were coming back, and I was really grateful now to be back, but prayed about it a lot. This is a unique time where all the pieces are coming together to secure the border and get access resources that can secure the border for generations to come, and I just felt compelled to be a part of it.
Well, thank you. The border has been a huge issue for moms because we are so concerned about what is coming over that border, from the drugs to the cartels to the sex trafficking to the illegal immigrants that we have no idea anything about their history. We are concerned about our country because what comes over that border is essentially in our neighborhood. So it's been a very big thing for us as moms. Tell us about some of the things that have been just the highlights of the 100 days.
Yeah, I think
with Tom Holman, everyone, Sarah Carr. I mean, it's just been amazing.
There's a lot of success. And so we've had, I'll give you an example. The last year that Joe Biden was the president, fiscal year 2024, we call in the government. If you average out the year, 5,100 people came across the border illegally every 24 hours in the United States.
It's almost hard to comprehend.
Yeah, think about that. Imagine you had a business and you had 10 stores across, you know, the town, and 5,000 people came in every day to that business. You'd be a success. But if those people were coming into the country illegally, needed to be processed, booked in, right, put in the system, fed, cared for, and eventually released under the Biden administration, that's a huge burden for the front line. Yeah. There's only 17,000 Border Patrol agents on the front line, and when you have 5,000 people to deal with every 24 hours, it overwhelms every system, every facility, every capability that they have on the border. Yeah. Last night, that 24-hour number, average over the week, is less than 300.
That is incredible.
So from 5,000 a day to 300 a day, that's a 97% drop in illegal migration across the southwest border. And what does that mean in practical terms? That's almost 100% increase in the capability of the agents that are on the line.
Sure.
So they can surveil the border better. They can patrol the border more often. They can rescue people who are being trafficked. They can seize more narcotics. They can do all the things that the Border Patrol is supposed to be doing, what we pay them for, what they took an oath for. And so that's a huge success. And that would be enough on its own.
Right.
But we've also ended the blanket abuse of parole that was occurring under the Biden administration.
Explain that so everyone knows.
So under the Biden administration, they kept talking about there wasn't a crisis at the border, it's not an emergency.
Right.
When we all saw it with our own eyes.
Correct.
And so because of that pressure, they decided to talk about legal pathways. You'll remember that in the press. We're going to have legal pathways. What that meant was an abuse of the parole system in which they were encouraging people overseas to apply for a parole in the U.S., which means permission to come in, not to stay, but
okay.
permission to come in. And they did that about 1.5 million people. So instead of getting people in the pipeline and crossing the border illegally and then requesting asylum, they were flown into the United States to a city and town of their choice. So almost 2 million people came into the country under that scenario. And that means that they were here illegally. And, you know, it was up to this presidency now to find some of those folks, find out who they are, vet them appropriately, and then decide, you know, most of them are going to get returned because they ended the parole for most of those folks because it was handed out in excess of authority from the executive branch. The president doesn't have the opportunity to stroke his pen and say, you can now come into the United States. Parole, for my entire career, was a case-by-case designation, and it was supposed to be to the benefit of the government or for humanitarian reasons. That humanitarian reason is limited to life-saving treatment in a U.S. hospital. So somebody flies in from France, there's one doctor in the U.S. that can perform a procedure that saves their life, we parole that person in. They get no legal status, they go to the doc, they get healed up, they go home. There are other areas in which we want to parole people. If you're the witness against a cartel that's being prosecuted in the U.S., well, you don't have status in the U.S., so we'll parole you in so you can give your testimony in federal court, and when the case is over, we send you back home. That's what parole has been used for since the 50s.
Well, this is what it all has to be explained, because it's been rewritten and reconstructed so much. I don't think anyone even knows what half of these terms were.
No, and you had a compliant press and a deceptive administration that was telling people they were fixing problems by causing other problems. That's the gist of it. But all the nonsense is over now. We have a 97% reduction.
I mean, that is an incredible number.
It is.
Did you think that you could even attain that in 100 days?
I'm very surprised about how fast it happened.
I'm just sitting here like shocked.
Yeah, no.
But I shouldn't, because President Trump, when he gets his mind made up, he brings those great leaders in, like yourself and like Tom Homan. Yeah. I mean, Tom Homan yesterday did a great, was it today or yesterday? I can't remember when he talked at the White House at the press briefing and really just laid it all out. He had an incredible message.
There's a clarity of purpose. So Kristi Noem, you know, the leader of the Department of Homeland Security.
Let's talk about
Kristi,
right?
She's done a wonderful job understanding what the frontline needs, doing the things that she can do and have control over. But there's this clarity of purpose amongst herself, Tom Homan, the men and women on the frontline. It translates all the way down, because this president got elected promising America the nonsense was over.
Right.
He was going to make America safe again by controlling the border and enforcing the integrity of our immigration system. And that's underway with their leadership in a way. Again, it went a lot faster than I thought it would, but I'm happy for it.
Oh, surely. Let's talk about some of the other issues, too. So now we've stopped a lot of, clearly 97% of the crossing, but we still have a drug issue. We still have sex trafficking coming across the border, children. Tell us about some of the great strides that we've done in the 100 days on those.
Yeah, so seizures overall are up because you've got more capacity pointed at that problem, right?
Okay.
You have agents on patrol that are doing more because they have time and effort to do more. They can
patrol
the border, right?
Right.
And so seizures are up. Probably marginally, not crazy up, but they're up. And then you have the whole of government pointed at the problem. So if you reduce the chaos at the border, like we've done, by 97%, you increase the capability to do all these other things.
Makes sense.
The president has designated some of these powerful cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. Tren de Aragua, MS-13, the Sinaloa cartel. Their they're responsible for a lot of crimes and degradation and a lot of the smuggling that occurs across the Southwest border. So working with our partners in the region, working internationally, and then working amongst the interagency, all of the federal agencies, working to combat the power that those cartels have, degraded in a way that holds them to account, both in our country and with the assistance of Mexico on their side of the border.
Right. And so the fentanyl, what about the drug crisis? Where are we at with that?
I think there's some progress being made. There is progress being made in the sense of the president threatened both our neighbors, Canada and Mexico, with tariffs and then put a huge tariff on China. And part of the numbers within those tariffs is you need to help us with the fentanyl problem.
Okay.
So most of the fentanyl that we see on the Southwest border is made in Mexico and transported across the Southwest border. So we're going to do all the physical things. We're going to do all the investigative things. But what really needs to happen, there needs to be a pact between the countries that disallows the precursor chemicals from coming into the hemisphere.
I understand.
Into North America. So stop it from getting into Canada, stop it from getting into Mexico, and then hold China to account, because they can stop some of it from their side. And so all of those things are underway. That's part of why the tariffs are in the conversation that we're in, because we want Mexico, Canada, and China to lean in and say, we don't have to have this problem at our border in our countries. Because Canada's suffering too. They have a fentanyl overdose crisis and a poisoning that's going on in their country as well. Mexico, the numbers are harder to notice, but I'm sure they're being affected in similar ways.
So this is another example of the tariffs having multiple layers to them.
100%.
You know, I think there's been these kind of sound bites about the tariffs, and we just don't understand it because we're not here for the negotiation. We're not at the table discussing these things, but there's many things to the tariffs, like you're saying with this issue, with fentanyl.
Yes, and it's in every discussion that I've been in with my counterparts in Mexico and in Canada. They talk about the issue because they're concerned about the same things Americans are concerned about.
Sure.
How are these things going to continue? What does the tariff mean? Can we avoid the tariff if we lean in a different way? And and they've acted accordingly. And so it enriches the conversation because we're working on the same problem.
Well, doesn't it give you so much hope to hear this from a senior advisor at the White House? It sure does. The mainstream media is pushing back so hard against everything that President Trump is doing. As you can see, there is a great deal of strategic thought behind the tariffs and in working partnerships with other countries to secure our border and to protect the lives of our citizens. More is coming up with our conversation with Ron Vitello from the Department of Homeland Security, recorded at the White House. We will be right back. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family, just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
Well, Welcome back, moms. Before we conclude our interview with Ron, I'd like to ask you to like, subscribe, and share our podcast with the moms in your circle. This is how we get our information out, and what an interesting conversation we're having here today. I know your moms would really appreciate listening to what Ron had to say. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for the podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear your feedback and any topics or suggestions you may want me to cover in the podcast. Lastly, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I sure hope that you're a part of our sisterhood. We have so many great resources available for you moms. How do you join? You go to momsforamerica.us and sign up. You sign up for our newsletter and you take advantage of all the resources that we have available for you moms. We are moms uniting all across this country. We are fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. Again, please check us out at momsforamerica.us. Join the movement. Let's talk about the next 100 days. What can families, moms look forward to as far as continuing to protect our children and our families and our homes all across America?
So continued success at the border, right?
Yes.
Locking the physical border down, keeping as many of the threats out and arresting those who continue to evade, continuing to work in the interagency when someone does come across the border illegally, we
right.
have the ability to prosecute them in federal court.
Okay.
So as an example, the president a couple of days ago established a military training area on the border near El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
And so when someone crosses the border illegally in that location, they're breaking federal law by coming into the country illegally, but they're also stepping onto a military base without permission. And so that subjects them to higher costs in consequence in federal prosecution. So we're going to continue to find ways ratchet up the pressure
yep.
to dissuade that activity and then sustain it over time. Sustainability is going to be key.
Right.
And so we have to be able to continue to do what we're doing. And then Congress has to come in.
It's all about Congress, right?
Yeah. So the president has made choices that affect the operation. We're stretched out on his priorities, but we're really working on a budget that was created by Joe Biden. So we're working on this president's agenda, and we're doing all the things we can to succeed.
Right.
But the resource package starts with Joe Biden's budget.
I understand.
Congress has to come in and fix what they want to do in the budget for 26. There's a reconciliation package that's circling around Congress now. And so we are hopeful that in that reconciliation, they give us the ability to sustain what we've done materially in the form of resources. Resources like boots on the ground, better access to the border, more border wall. Those are the things that will sustain over time. And then separately from reconciliation, some ability to change the executive orders into U.S. law, like the one on catch and release. It's already illegal via law to let someone go who has crossed the border illegally and claimed asylum. But the system was so overwhelmed in previous administrations and in the Biden administration, they were encouraging this behavior. So, of course, we were overwhelmed. End that practice, finally, with legislation that backs up the choices that the president has made on the policy side.
Wow. Executive orders regarding the border. I mean, the president did do a lot of work there, too. What were some of the highlights that you thought were just off the charts? And again, probably never thought we were able to do that quickly.
Yeah, declaring an emergency at the border, declaring the cartels as terrorist organizations, those are instruments that bring the entire federal government looking at that problem, right?
Uh-huh.
We know the border is important. We know that if you secure the border, you secure the homeland, and the president is dedicated in doing that. He's put a team in place to make that happen. But this declaration of an emergency, declaration of terrorist organizations raises the bar. So it's not just a DHS problem. We have partners in DOJ, the Department of Justice, we have partners in the Department of Defense, and everybody's looking at that problem in the same way, and these executive orders give them the instrument to collaborate and coordinate in a way, frankly, I've never seen as a government employee.
Yeah.
And so those are the things that have made a real big difference. Executive orders are in their, in my opinion, in their perfect form, it organizes the government in a way that we're all pointing at the
right.
same problem.
It brings awareness and some type of accountability. So the White House lawn has some different signage out there when I was walking by. Tell us about that with the 100 days.
Isn't that amazing? You know, like when I saw it yesterday, I said, man, whoever's on the comms team that thought of this needs to get a raise, because it's an outstanding description of the threat that every community faces when the border is in chaos.
Yeah.
When you have thousands and tens of thousands of people who are in the country who came here to do criminal activity or are part of a transnational gang or a foreign terrorist organization, those pictures show the American people and the compliant press how dangerous it could be in a place like Boston, Chicago, and L.A. when they would rather protect and house and secure and sanctuary those people versus turn them over to the federal government. And so a stroke of genius for those pictures to be out there, but a real reminder of the threat that we live around
each
and every
sobering.
Day.
Yeah, very sobering to know that criminals are in our country, in our neighborhoods. You know, now what can we look forward to as far as safety? I mean, I guess that's really, moms want a safe America. They do, and President Trump talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
No one wants to live in fear, and when you have bad people in your city or, you know, it's scary. It's scary for moms.
Yeah, it definitely is. And so the security at the border and the chaos that we've seen under the last administration is over.
Yeah.
And so we can all take a little bit of an easier breath, because the chaos and the threats that exist there are not coming to a city or town near us.
Right.
And so controlling and maintaining control of that area is good for all of us.
Right.
And then going out, as ICE is doing, and going after the worst of the worst, removing those threats from our communities, that'll make the
It seems like a very tough job.
Oh yes, dangerous, difficult, but the men and women of the front line, they're eager to do this. This is what they signed up for, right? ICE agents, Border Patrol agents on the line, they are recruited and we give them these jobs. They take an oath to protect the Constitution and protect us by extension.
Right.
And so they're eager now to have the ability to do their jobs in the way they hadn't in the last couple of years.
No, and they really should be so applauded for serving. That is a tough job, just like our police and our first responders, but to be on the border and dealing with those type of people, it's scary.
100%.
Yeah, and Kristi Noem, how about, I mean, she's amazing, huh?
Yeah, it's been great.
She's one of our favorite mamas, too.
It's been great. When I recognized that she was going to be the nominee and then eventually got the nomination, I recognized that she has like wonderful tools to succeed in this environment.
Yeah.
She understands the things of Washington, but she hasn't been corrupted by it. She understands the thing of a senior executive because she was the governor. And so she understands how operations work and don't work. She spent her time adding value in the places where she can add value, like finding a way for, you know, to bring the law from the 50s to have people registered if they're in the country illegally, a powerful tool that motivates people to do the right thing, changing into the CBP home app, giving people inside an application an ability to raise their hand and self-deport, and then just being a leader in kind when she goes out to the field and talks to the front line and says, what is it that I can do better? What more tools do you need? And she's communicating that to them and expressing her appreciation, as well as communicating it to the president to tell the president how well that team is doing on his behalf. So it's great to see. She's very successful, and I look forward to her being more successful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And advice to our moms, you have any for them to keep their families safe and their kids and their community?
Well, we live in a time where things are getting better, but they're not yet the best they can be. And so we look forward to that, the greatness that we're going to attain. I would just ask them to say a prayer for the safety and security of America overall, and a special prayer for the first responders in their community and on the border.
Good. Well, thank you. We appreciate all the hard work you're doing there to make America safe again.
Thanks.
My last interview from the White House was with the Deputy Press Secretary, Anna Kelly. And boy, we had a great time talking about all the energy and the transparency of Trump 2.0. Take a listen. Tell us what you do here at the White House.
I'm so happy to be here. So I am one of the deputy press secretaries. There are three of us. So I literally spend all day every day answering reporter questions. So my office, and this is the first communications job I've had where it's like this. My office is literally right outside the press briefing room that everyone sees on TV. So there are reporters coming in all day every day and asking me questions. And you know, and I'm also getting, of course, many emails and just shaping these stories left and right. So that's what I do all day every day. And then every once in a while, I get to do fun things like join you for a podcast or radio or TV or whatever it is.
Well, what a great 100 days. Everyone, the energy and the success is really something to brag about. Did you think that the president would get this type of agenda done in 100 days? I mean, think about that. That is, it's 3 months.
It is, and it's, I totally expected it. I mean, I had the pleasure of being part of the campaign, so I was there when he was making all these promises, when he was constantly on the road doing 3, 4, 5 stops a day. I mean, the guy does not sleep. He is an incredibly hardworking, energetic individual, and yet he'll be coming back at 2 o'clock in the morning just as energized as ever. So we certainly knew that he would apply that same level of energy and enthusiasm to the job, and he's totally done that. I mean, like you said, 100 days, 140 executive orders in 100 days. I mean, just quickly delivering on all of these campaign promises. So we're certainly not surprised, but it's such an honor on my end to be a part of.
And I would say the communications team, actually the whole administration, Moms for America, we have been at multiple executive order signings. We have been at Women's History Month. We have been invited to situations like this. Debbie, would you like to bring the podcast and talk to some of, you know, our team about what has happened over the 100 days? It seems unusual. Is this usually how White Houses work, or is this just literally how President Trump likes to run his organization, his administration team?
It's so interesting. I think you're right. I think it's unusual because, ironically, while the media likes to attack this president left and right, he's running, you know, the most transparent and accessible administration in history.
It is accessible. It
is.
It really is.
And that's why he's bringing, you know, folks like you, shows from all across the country here, you know, not just for 100 days. I mean, this has been going on for months, trying to bring new voices or existing voices with massive audiences that have just been left behind by the legacy media or by past administrations. He's bringing all of those voices into the fold, bringing moms and manufacturers and workers into the fold for all of these big events that are happening in the White House. So it's about being inclusive. It's about bringing new voices or new audiences into the fold that have been left behind.
Wow. Well, what can we expect I want to talk with you about the next 100 days. We've kind of recapped with everyone a lot of the great successes and everything that President Trump had done. What's the next 100? I can't imagine what that's going to be like. Harrison told me, who's on your team, that this is kind of like the warm up. And I'm like, wow, what could the next 100 be?
Yeah, well, we're seeing kind of a preview, right? This president is the deal maker in chief. We're hearing a lot about these 130 countries that have come to the table wanting to negotiate with this president on tariffs. We're also seeing foreign leaders. We're up to, I think, 14 foreign leaders. That is after 2 foreign leaders were here in Biden's term at this point. So I think you'll see more peace deals, more trade deals. Of course, those are at work. And just more, you know, looking ahead to foreign policy. He's gotten a lot of his domestic policy accomplished. Of course, there's a lot to do with, you know, one big, beautiful bill codifying a lot of these really important changes that he's making that the American people want. But I think we'll also be looking ahead to a lot of his foreign policy vision, restoring America's standing on the world stage, restoring peace through strength, and seeing all of those deals come to fruition as well.
What is it like every week? We're big fans, obviously, of Caroline Leavitt, the youngest press secretary in history. We gave her Mother of Influence Award recently. So she's mama, it seems like there's a lot of young moms. I think I saw 4 or 5 moms to be here today, and it was so refreshing. It is a very family-friendly administration.
Yeah, and you know, the president will never get credit for that. Like, what a family man he is, what a dedicated father and grandfather he is, and so I think that's why he's so supportive of people like Caroline, people like James Blair, Stephen Miller. They all have young kids, and so there's so many parents with young kids leading in top roles in this administration. I know that they'll make a lot of, you know, meeting times. They don't do meeting times super early because they want to accommodate accommodate to that. And so this president knows the value of family. He cares deeply about his own family, and he cares deeply about his staff. He's so generous with praise for all of his staff and wants to look out for his people. And so I think you see that reflected publicly and privately, his effort to support women, support families, and you know, really be supportive of everybody and making everyone better off across the country.
Yeah. Well, working at the White House, is this what you expected? What did you come in thinking with the White House, and what is what you're walking away with? Like, what's your current reveal and being a part of this administration?
Yeah, so it's, you know, there's working for the White House, right? I'm sure there's a very traditional way that looks like. Under Biden, of course, they were calling lids, quote unquote, which means, you know, press can go home for the day because there's nothing else going on. They were calling those lids at like 2 o'clock.
There's no lids
yeah,
here,
there's
right?
There's no lids here. No, certainly not before 6 o'clock. And I'm like, that's basically noon for this boss. So, you know, there's working for the White House, and then there's working for President Trump,
right,
who is, you know, incredibly, as we said, hardworking, always on the move. And so it's helpful to come from the campaign. I think if I didn't, I wouldn't be quite used to that pace. But it's, you know, we're used to that because that's how he's always been. And so, you know, I think that's some helpful experience, I would say, is being used to the pace and the speed of everything that he's getting done.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone can really describe his energy. Right? I mean, it is for his age and but his stamina is incredible.
Yeah, he's always going, and he's having so much fun. I don't know if you remember, like a month ago, he's always taking questions from the press in the Oval Office. He's passing out Trump was right about everything hats to members of the press. Like, he's just having a great time. And so I think he knows, you know, he was given a mandate by the American people. He feels really backed by that. And so I think he's just really having a lot of fun getting to implement all these policies that he campaigned on. And so it makes it a lot more fun for us as staff to just to get to kind of participate in that and work just as hard as he's working, but have a little bit of fun too, because at the end of the day, this is for the American people, and that's incredibly rewarding.
Thank you, Anna. Well, thanks for all your hard work. It was really delightful to be here today and to talk with officials from the administration and get caught up on the 100 days of President Trump's White House.
No,
it's been
thank
great.
You. Thank you. This is great. This is what it's all about. It's about being transparent and inclusive, and that's why, you know, we're excited to welcome you here. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right. Well, thanks again to the Trump administration for the invitation to the White House. We surely did have a really great time visiting there. And Moms for America is celebrating your first 100 days. And we look forward to everything else that you're going to be accomplishing in your term. Wasn't that funny, though, when Anna said that President Trump passes out, Trump was right about everything hats to the media. I saw that media row there, and I would have loved to have been there when he did that. So funny. He really does have a great sense of humor. But as Ron said, we do need to be praying for him. We need to be praying for President Trump, and we need to be praying for this administration. So much is at stake here. So let's keep them in our prayers, because all of us want a safe and a secure country, and we so appreciate them fighting for us. Thanks to everyone that was a part of today's program. Please share this again with your mom friends. And as always, just ask everybody to stop by Moms for America and join the movement there. You go to momsforamerica.us, sign up for the newsletter, and take advantage of all our resources that we have there for you moms. Lastly, I do want to invite everyone to check out our new program, which is called The Mom View. It is conservative moms chatting about the culture and everything that affects us as moms, but it's the right view, not the wrong view. It's the mom view. Okay, so go to momview.com. Check us all out there. Watch our episodes. It's a brand new show. All right, moms, from the kitchen table to Congress, Moms for America has it all. Please join the movement, share the podcast, and as always, we will keep changing our country one home at a time, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us on the Moms for America podcast. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.